So, epiphany, manifestation, revelation, discovery, aha moments, moments when the light is clicked on, you know? And when you see what perhaps was there all along, moments when things converge like the coming together of a puzzle, like we do at in Christmas week. We like to put a puzzle together, and all of a sudden, the picture becomes clear to you, right? Kind of like George Banks. How many of you have seen the movie, The Saving of George Banks? Yeah? Great, hey? It made us go home and watch Old Mary Poppins again. You know, what a great movie. And this George Banks, who, and it's really about the saving of the author of the story, too, really, this movie is. But George, who thought he had things nailed down, right? Everything was on schedule, on how perfect is the life I lead, right? And just when he thought all things were settled down, the wind shifted. And he was in for a great big epiphany that saved not only himself, but his whole family, really. Well, we're launching into the season of epiphanies. The season lasts until Lent now. And it's a season of broadening and expanding circles of light and awareness. So we'll be seeing these stars, this constellation of stars right here, thanks to our Liturgical Arts Committee, for the rest of the season until Lent to help us in our seeking and searching on the journey of this epiphany, about the awareness of who Jesus is, namely God in human form. Remember, Emmanuel. And that all starts today with the visit of the Magi, the wise men. You know, you see these three wise men on your Christmas cards every year, right? They're just kind of there. And most often it's a scene where they're kneeling down in front of the baby Jesus with their gifts, right? In their fancy clothes, because they've been blessed by following this star and had this tremendous epiphany, awareness that this really is God in human form, Emmanuel. Not God far off and distant, but God present, here, imminent, now, with us. And before we consider what that means for us a little bit, this aha moment of the Magi, let me give you a little history lesson. I got stuck in this. I hope I don't bore you too much. But this week, the proper term Magi comes from the Persian language, the Babylonian Empire, and it's actually the root word for magic and magicians. And so these guys were oftentimes considered, you mean, sort of like, you know, tricksters and charlatans, illusionists. But what they actually were, they were Zoroastrian priests. And it was a religion named for Zoroaster or Zarathustra. How many have heard that name? Thus spake Zarathustra is a I think it's a Wagner piece, right, in the Odyssey, 2000. Anyway, he lived in Iran, Zarathustra, around the 7th century BC, and he formulated this religion. There was already a monotheistic religion, and he nurtured and cultivated that, and it was named for him, Zoroastrianism, and it still exists today. You could go to L.A., there's a center there. You could go to Paris, there's a big center there, as well as in the Middle East. And but in 600 BC, it was the official religion of the Babylonian Empire. Remember, it had taken Israel by force and taken all the key and the wisest and smartest people into captivity, back to Babylon, out of Jerusalem. But this religion of Zarathustra was a highly intellectual and scientific religion. All right? It believed there was only one God and encouraged people to seek truth, to seek knowledge, to seek anything that would help them in their discovery of what this God was about, to stretch their knowledge and to participate in the divine order by doing acts of charity and justice. Because they believed that the opposite of God's divine order was chaos, and you fought that back by works of justice and charity. Kind of interesting, huh? And the priests were all trained in the latest knowledge of the time, so at that time it was astronomy, studying of the stars, the constellations, how they moved in the sky, and what it meant for humans and for the earth and what they did with things, you know. And it got them into also this kind of spiritual wisdom of, astrology. Some of us still kind of check our horoscopes, right, to find out something crazy, maybe. Hopefully don't take it too serious. But that's where it came from, the Zoroastrian priests. And they were so trusted by the leaders of Babylon that they were the trusted advisors to the royalty. And so whenever they made an important decision, it was the priests who were called on to help them with that decision. So, but in fact, they also learned to interpret dreams. They're really very grounded in perceptive, spiritual perceptiveness. And in fact, they were the scientific researchers of their day. That's what they were. Well, anyways, part of their science, working this out in daily life, interpretation of dreams and all the rest, trusted advisors. They were also the first in history to discover and study different religions of the world and different cultures and assimilate them. So when they took over Jerusalem, they took with them the wisest and best of the Jewish community to retrain them into their culture. So you remember the names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? All right. They were, why they're so important, and Daniel, is that they were inducted to become priests of Zarathustra, see? The only problem was they didn't buy into the whole thing, and they refused to bow down to the god of Zoroaster. And so then they were like thrown into lion's den, Daniel, and into the fiery furnace. And our kids last summer did this incredible little musical called It's Cool in the Furnace. It was about that story. So cool. But they were being trained to be priests, you know, in that thing. And I've gone way off subject, sorry. But these Babylonian priests, these magi, these wealthy, highly educated men of science, in all their searching for the truth in the world, it led them to bow down before the baby Jesus. Isn't that something? For all their knowledge and wisdom and searching, it led to the baby Jesus. So that's the first lesson for us today in the story of this wise men. If you think your childhood faith has been destroyed by the realities of life, by your college education, or by life experiences, and there's nothing left, it's just a nice children's story, you know what? Keep searching. Because you're missing something if you're stuck in that level. If you think you've got life nailed down and you know the answers now, finally, consider George Banks, whose life was transformed by the appearance of kind of like a magi-like person, Mary Poppins, wasn't she? And when she showed up with the children and with him and his wife, they had to come to realize that maybe things aren't just always as they seem, you know? Maybe they aren't always just as they seem. And maybe you'll find the wonder, the mystery that life is that gets you in the final analysis, even in the crisis of life, when there's nothing else to say, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, or something like that, you know? It's that awesome, it's that powerful when we grasp what this is about, this epiphany. Observing this, the most intelligent, most scientific leaders of the Babylonian Empire, kneeling to worship the baby Jesus. So before you throw those Christmas cards away, take another look at those guys. And then ask yourself, with whatever you're struggling with now, what did they know that I don't know? Or that I don't know yet. Because we're in for more epiphanies. Search the scriptures, if you like. Search with others in Bible studies around here. And our faith formation department, by the way, is going to be launching some new small group Bible studies for groups of 7 to 10 people in your homes or here at church. And it's just going to be 4 sessions during this epiphany season of searching. All right, just a short-term thing. We're going to invite you to get into that to help you with this being open to what is it God's doing. Because if you think you have the answers, You have only barely just begun your next layer of epiphanies, awarenesses about Jesus, about yourself, about life in the world, about the God who is Emmanuel, God with us, and what that means for you and your life. A second epiphany in this passage that comes to me from Matthew's Gospel, which we're going to hear a lot, by the way, this year. We're in year A of the cycle of lessons. If you haven't noticed, we do a 3-year cycle of lessons. We hear most of the Bible over 3 years. This year, Matthew is the main gospel reading, and we hear this a lot from him this year. Notice this. These magi were non-Jews. They were Gentiles, right? They were outsiders. And how odd these Gentiles come to recognize the baby Jesus when the Jews don't, right? This was a huge challenge to the readers of Matthew's Gospel, because Matthew's Gospel was written for Jewish Christians, kind of like their catechism, like Luther's small catechism for Lutherans, right? But in it, Matthew wanted to make something clear. He was tweaking their noses constantly, Jewish Christians, to become aware and then to accept and ultimately to affirm that Jesus was born as a light to all nations, all ethnos is the Greek word, ethnos. God with us, Lord of all, not just those who are like us, not just those who we feel comfortable with, not just those we approve of. This Jesus God came, Matthew makes the point, even to be with dishonest, dirty tax collectors like he was. See? He was writing from that vantage point. And for every sinner of every kind, Jesus came for all of them, like it or not. Jesus, yes, King of the Jews, like the sign on his cross said as he was crucified, but far more, this baby in the manger worshipped by the outsider magi, Lord of all, beautiful Savior, King of creation. Don't we sing that sometimes? All the nations, that phrase shows up in this gospel 19 times. Matthew wants to make the point. And then one last epiphany that comes to me for us, an awareness point in this story. If Jesus is Lord of all, you buy that, and you feel like you're called then to be his disciple. That's another big theme in the Gospel of Matthew, being called and being trained to be disciples. Then we're going to be more like Jesus in our mission. Or like the Magi, we may have to go out by another route, because the times have changed, or the mission, the focus has changed. Something's different, and we need to adjust so that we can proclaim Christ in this world. So we have mission statements, but you know they're provisional. Things shift. Then we have to shift and take another route. Maybe proclaiming God with us means doing even more fair trade than we're doing now. Maybe it means reprioritizing our use of time and taking a trip to Peru to help our brothers and sisters build that library so that they can support good learning as a witness in that community to help their neighborhood. Maybe it means being more attuned to the cries of the poor and needy right in our midst. Maybe it means adopting a homeless family in Montgomery County to help them get on their feet. I don't know what it means for you or me right now. Maybe it means tutoring a kid at Glenlock School. I don't know. But ultimately, our discipleship is judged, Jesus says in this Gospel of Matthew, you've heard these words before, by this analysis. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you took care of me. I was a prisoner and you visited me. And we ask at the end of time, well, Jesus, when did we do any of that? What we'll hear from him is this: whatever you did to the least of these, my family, my brothers and sisters, you did it unto me. Well, epiphanies, a lot of epiphanies await us in this new year. And if we, like the Magi, will keep searching, keep our eyes open, keep our questions going, seeking for the truth, signs of Jesus' presence and where that leads us and what it means, Who knows what you're going to discover next? Whatever it is, for today, for this Christmas day, and until we know more, let's find ourselves in this posture with the Magi before life, before Jesus, the baby Jesus, humbly saying, wow. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, maybe. But wow. Thank you, Jesus, Lord of our life.